Well, Father, I truly do thank you for this day and for every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you have poured out upon all of your children all over the land. And I thank you, Father God, that you already started miracles, and what we just have to do is step into them. And I'm asking this morning, Father God, for those that have eyes to see, let them see. And those who have ears, let them hear. And Father God, let everything we see and hear go down into our spirit. And Father God, let it take root, deep root, so we can grow more and more in you. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that you all know that the world is getting darker. And we all know that we really have to really fight to stay in the light. You're going to have to know where, I'm hearing God say, know where your post is at, and then stand at your post. For the enemy's going to try to take you off of your post. All right? It's really something how the world can push themselves on you, and we're supposed to tolerate it. But if the body of Christ tries to do anything for the Lord, then we're fought. And, you know, and they shut us down. But God is always in control. And if you stay in the will of God, the enemy can't shut you down. All right? So always remember that. Doesn't matter what the enemy's trying to do, he can't shut you down as long as you stay in the will of the Father. Somebody had to hear that. That's why God said that. All right, we're going to talk about there's a price for miracles. Now, a miracle is a surprising and welcome event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. The miracles that we already see and the miracles that we're going to see come from God and God only. Man does not make them. God said miracles happen every day of your lives. You just do not know how to recognize them. A miracle can occur in many different ways. The reason my children are always saying, where are the signs, wonders, and miracles is because they are not looking for the correct thing. Look around about you each and every day, and I guarantee you that you will begin to see miracles everywhere. When a bird sings, that is a miracle. When a baby is born, that is a miracle. When the flowers bloom, that is a miracle. We could go on and on and on, but I want to teach you more of my miracle working strategy. The biggest miracle that could ever occur is the changes I make within your temple to prepare you for my use. Children, the first thing you need to understand is where miracles come from. Miracles come from above, and miracles are poured out because of my love for the vessels that I created. Miracles come from above, and miracles are poured out because of my love for the vessels that I created. God said the die has been cast, and every miracle I'm ever going to perform is already in the making. You see, I always plan everything out before it ever occurs. I never do anything haphazardly, and I am never caught off guard by anything that occurs all across this land. All must understand that I am a miracle-working father, and I so delight in showering my children with miracle after miracle. Look at my word. Was not the way the earth was created a miracle? God said, absolutely. Can you place the stars in the sky? This is God asking you questions. Can you place the stars in the sky and name each and every one of them? Can you put the heavens above and the earth beneath? Can you place the oceans in their rightful place, draw a line, and say no further? Now let's look at Job chapter 38, verse 1. This is Job after he made his little speech. Then the Lord spoke to Job from a whirlwind and said, who is this ignorant person saying these foolish things? He's telling Job, that's Job. Prepare yourself for an attack. Get ready to answer the questions I will ask you. And I want each one of us to understand at some point in our life, God's going to do this to us. He's going to say, who is this ignorant person saying these foolish things? Then he's going to say, prepare yourself for an attack. Get ready to answer the questions I will ask you. These are the questions. Where were you when I made the earth? If you're so smart, answer me. And who decided how big the earth should be? Who measured it with a measuring line? What is the earth resting on? Who put the first stone in its place when the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted with joy? Who closed the floodgates as the sea gushed from the womb? Who covered it with clouds and wrapped it in darkness? I set the limits for the sea and put it behind locked gates. I said to the sea, you can come this far, but no further. This is where your proud waves will stop. Did you ever in your life command the morning to begin or the day to dawn? Did you ever tell the morning light to grab the earth and shake those who are evil out of their hiding places? The morning light makes the hills and valleys easy to see. When the daylight comes to the earth, the shapes of these places stand out like the folds of a coat. They take shape like soft clay that is pressed with a stamp. Evil people don't like the daylight. When it shines bright, it keeps them from doing the bad things they do. Have you ever gone to the deepest parts of the sea? Have you ever walked on the ocean bottom? Has anyone shown you the gates to the world of the dead? Have you ever seen those gates that lead to the dark place of death? Do you really understand how big the earth is? Tell me, if you know all this, where does light come from? Where does darkness come from? Can you take them back to where they belong? Do you know how to get there? Surely you know these things, since you are so old and wise. You were alive when I made them, weren't you? Have you ever gone into the storerooms where I keep the snow and the hail? I save them there for times of trouble, for the times of war and battle. Have you ever gone to the place where the sun comes up, where it makes the east wind blow all over the earth? Who dug ditches in the sky for the heavy rain? Who made a path for the thunderstorm? Who makes it rain even in desert places where no one lives? The rain gives that dry, empty land all the water it needs, and grass begins to grow. Does the rain have a father? Who produces the crops of dew? Does ice have a mother? Who gives birth to the frost? That's when the water freezes as hard as a rock, even the deep sea freezes over. Can you tie up the Pleiades? Can you unfasten a belt of Orion? Can you bring out the other constellations at the right times? Can you lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws that control the sky? Can you put each star in its place above the earth? Can you shout out the clouds and command them to cover you with rain? Can you give a command to the lightning? Will it come to you and say, here we are. What do you want, sir? Will it go wherever you want it to go? Who makes people wise? Who puts wisdom deep inside them? Who is wise enough to count the clouds and tip them over to pour out their rain? The rain makes the dust become mud and the clumps of dirt stick together. I couldn't do none of that, could you? All miracles come from God. God said, children, throw all of your inhibitions to the side and just follow me. I'm sorry, just allow me to use your vessels to perform any miracle I so desire to perform. Just die out to yourself, God is saying, and just allow me to use your vessels to perform any miracle I so desire to perform. You have not been seeing lasting miracles occur for a couple of decades now because of the doubt and unbelief that has been allowed to infiltrate my houses. My houses should be full of miracles, one after another. You talk about miracles, but do you actually see miracles? You see a miracle happen when you prayed, but the next day that miracle is not there. Are you listening here? No, I tell you that you have not seen real miracles. Real miracles occur and last. They do not just fade away because the night has passed. I was healed last night when somebody touched me, but I'm not healed this morning. You didn't receive a miracle. All right? God says, so you see, little ones, you have not yet encountered the everlasting miracle working power that I need. That I need you to walk in. And I tell you, before this year ends, miracles will flood this earth. And I so desire that you be right in the very center of the miracle working power. Stay close to me and allow me to be the one to keep the anointing continually flowing through you. You cannot see miracles produced if you don't have the anointing of God flowing through you. How many of you just say this past week you saw somebody that really needed a miracle and you wanted so desperately for God to, you even prayed for them and you wanted God so desperately to move, but he didn't move. See, we can't make God perform a miracle. If God is ready to do that miracle, he will do it. And not before. So let's not try to conjure up a miracle because it doesn't work. It only happens when God wants it to happen. God said, allow me to use you as vessels of honor that will lead the unbeliever into my kingdom of light. Church, rise to the calling I have placed upon you in this dispensation of time. You cannot be a miracle carrier if you're still having issues with a brother or sister. And that is the truth, and I'm not going to alter that truth for anybody. Let's read this again. You cannot be a miracle carrier if you're still having issues with a brother or sister. That is the truth, and I'm not going to alter that truth for anybody. God said, you say you love me, but you still cannot truly love your brother or sister. The biggest miracle you will ever see is when you can honestly wash your brother and sister's feet and truly accept them for who they are. The church has a big problem with that, accepting people for who they are. And we have to get over that stumbling block before God can start using the church with signs, wonders, and miracles. It is hard. I know it's hard, but it's something we have to get over. And the enemy knows that as long as we can't get over that, then God will never use us for signs, wonders, and miracles. John 13:12 says, when Jesus finished washing the disciples' feet, he put on his clothes and went back to the table and he asked, do you understand what I did for you? You call me teacher and you call me Lord, and this is right because that is what I am. I am your Lord and teacher, but I washed your feet, so you also should wash each other's feet. How many of you husband and wives have washed each other's feet since God's been telling about washing feet? I guess nobody. You didn't get the message God was trying to get across to you. God said, when you wash each other's feet, then you're saying, I'm your servant, and I'm here to do whatever you need to have done. See, you have not yet committed yourself to that. You could wash your daughter's feet. You're her servant, and you're there to pray for her and make sure she stays safe. You understand this? There's many in here, you really need to wash each other's feet, and you watch and see what God does, what kind of miracles that he performs. I just see Sister Deborah going home and say, hey, honey, I need to wash your feet. You know, come on. You know, I say all that because, you know, God told me one time I had to wash my husband's feet. And then afterwards he explained why. It really does something to you when you wash somebody else's feet and truly become their servant. And it's just not mouth servant service, but it's truly from the depth of your heart. Some of you might have to wash your children's feet because you haven't been the proper mother or father that you should be. Did we read verse 15? No. Jesus said to the disciples, I did this as an example for you, so you should serve each other just as I served you. Believe me, servants are not greater than their master. Those who are sent to do something are not greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, great blessings will be yours if you do them. So you just don't hear it, and I'm sorry, do nothing about it. He said, if you do them. There's that little if in there. We overlook that little if, don't we? But that's very important in our walk with God. God says, you talk about loving the unlovable, but in the same breath you come against the ones I have placed over you. But that is nothing new. I placed my son Jesus over you, and you came against him also. You blasphemed him, and you totally neglected the weightier issues. So he's saying you didn't even allow Jesus to be Lord over you. So you have a deep-rooted problem that you have to get rid of. But what does Jesus say are the weightier matters of the law? In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. So, you know, if you don't practice justice, mercy, and faith, anything else you do is nothing. There isn't a person in this room that doesn't have somebody in your life that is a thorn in your flesh. We all have thorns in our flesh. I think God makes sure that to keep us humble, get rid of all that pride. And that thorn in your flesh could really upset you. But if you really take it to God, he quickly takes that upsetness out of you and allows you to see how you are truly supposed to be acting towards that thorn. All right? Some people look at you and say, you're crazy. God will look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. God said, open up your blind eyes this night and allow me to anoint them with eye salve so you can see the truth. And then allow the truth to set you free. For it is in freedom that great signs, wonders, and miracles occur. Always, not just now and then, but always. You know, I was reading an article about a month ago, and it said these miracles were happening night after night in this one service they were holding in some state. And so I just, you know, sometimes I just read the heading and don't go further. But I thought, well, I'm going to read what kind of miracles are going on. And you know what the miracles were? Every night at the service, souls were being saved. That was the miracle. People weren't being healed. Lightning wasn't falling from heaven and striking people. People were being saved. Now, how many of us, when we see somebody saved, we don't think that's a miracle? I mean, you know, we just don't think about it as a miracle, but that is what this church was boasting about, that they were getting all these people saved. And I remember one time I held a miracle service. We got packed out. And I said, I welcomed this one guy, and he said, you know why I'm here tonight? And I said, no. He said, well, anybody that's bold enough to advertise that miracle's going to happen, I had to go and see what was going to happen. You know, and there were souls saved that night, and I don't know what else happened because it's quite a few years ago. But, you know, I've never forgotten about that. Anybody that's bold enough to say miracles are going to happen, but what are they looking for with miracles? They're looking for healings. They're looking for blind eyes to open. You know, the miracle could be they got changed. That was their miracle. We need to refocus on what a miracle truly is and thank God for all things that are happening, just not the things we think are miracles. Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 17 said, excuse me, Jesus speaking, you say you are rich, you think you have become wealthy and don't need anything, but you don't know that you're really miserable, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy gold from me, gold made pure in fire. Then you will be rich. I tell you this, buy clothes that are white, then you will be able to cover your shameful nakedness. I also tell you to buy medicine to put on your eyes. Then you will be able to see. Another version says, anoint your eyes with eye salve. So anoint your eyes with eye salve was a prescription offered by Jesus to the first century Christian congregation. This was not a literal disease of the eyes, but spiritual blindness needed ointment. And I really believe the majority of the body of Christ needs that eye salve. I really think that we are blind to the real truth and real things of God's word. And what we really see is what somebody else has said. You know, if you really, when you're, if you get a subject and you start looking up, I'm totally shocked at how pastors have twisted the word of God. And people believed it. You know, and I just sit and shake my head as I'm reading. I thought, how could anybody even get up and preach that? Because they took that scripture totally out of context. And I even had one pastor, right, but one pastor said, there isn't such a thing as a miracle. God doesn't do that anymore. That's not in the church anymore. And, you know, they have followers. They're going to stand before God one day and answer about twisting the gospel. So what I'm asking you to do is don't ever twist the gospel. Don't ever try to get somebody to be saved or to believe in God by using the word of God to beat them up. Don't do that. Give them the truth of the word and let them do it with whatever they want to. All right? That's your job. Give them the word, and then let the Holy Spirit convict them with the word. Worthy of note is the fact that this eye salve has to be bought. There is a cost involved. This is the cost. Time must be expended to study and meditate on the word of God so we can be more like Jesus and less like the world. You see, God said, you say you came to a miracle service, but you don't fully understand what kind of miracle service I was speaking about. The biggest miracle you will ever see is your complete transformation from the old to the new. The biggest miracle you will ever see is your complete transformation from the old to the new. You say, I'm a brand new wineskin and God can fill me full of the new wine, but not so. It is not until you can love all peoples that you will be ready to carry this new wine. The enemy will always send a thorn your way in, and I know you will have difficulty. Well, see, I got ahead of myself here. And I know you will have difficulty with a few of them, but you must at all costs learn to love unconditionally. That is hard. People are cruel. But if we couldn't do it, God wouldn't say we could do it. And until we master that, don't ask God to use you as a sign and a wonder. All right? And yet what does happen is that God will put you through all these tests. And he won't use you in signs and wonders until you pass these tests. So are you going through a test? God is trying to get you to a place where you'll submit to him and learn to love unconditionally and accept people as who they are and go on. All right, God said, difficulty with a few of them, but you must at all costs learn to love unconditionally. For this is surely the last hour, and a great works must be accomplished in you first, and then carry this great works into a lost and dying world. All right, let me just ask you this. How many of you, be honest, raise your hand, this week have come across people that was hard to love? And you know, you've trusted them and they said, I'll never do that again. Or, you know, and they turn around and do it again. And I said last night, I said, well, God, it's really hard for, what is it, change your spots? What kind of animal? A leper. Yeah, a leper to change a spot. But you know what? We have to love that leper with its spots. And it's only through our love that just maybe they might make it into heaven if somebody loves them in their mess. It's easy for me to love somebody that's all sweet all the time. But it's really hard when you really get a hard case thrown at you. And it's the same thing over and over and over again. But you know what? It'll keep going over and over and over again until you learn to love that person unconditionally. All right, this is a miracle service, but this morning the miracle is you becoming like my son Jesus. And see, I've been saying, God, we need miracle services, so this is why he's saying this. This is a miracle service, but this morning the miracle is you becoming like my son Jesus. My son Jesus was full of unadulterated love, and through him all signs, wonders, and miracles occurred. You will find in my word where my son admonishes you to be like him. And Luke chapter 6:39 says, Jesus told them this story. Can a blind man lead another blind man? No. Both of them will fall into a ditch. Students are not better than their teacher, but when they have been fully taught, they will be like their teacher. And Matthew 28:19 says, Jesus said, so go and make followers of all people in the world. Make what? Followers. Of all people in the world, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you to do. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of time. But I want to get the point here. So go and make followers. In other words, you should be just like Jesus, and they want to be just like you. That's how I became born again, because this friend of mine who was going to college with me, she was a mess. She could cuss like I don't know what. Loud mouth, and she came in this night to pick me up because I worked at the college. And she came by and she said, you ready to go to class? Very quietly. And I said, yes, let me close down. And she didn't say nothing else. And was going up steps. I said, what's wrong? Nothing. Very quietly. And as when we got to the top of the steps, I stopped. I said, is something wrong? She says, no. She said, but I want you to go with me to meet the person that's changed me. And she had met Jesus at a Full Gospel Businessmen Association. Totally changed her. And she never went back to her old ways either. I mean, she went from a cusser and a loud mouth to somebody talked very softly, and very few words did she ever say. See, that person was totally changed. And so I said, when we was talking, I said, I want to meet whoever made you like you are. She got me as a follower. Amen. Well, we see that a lot in the world, don't we? You know, hey, where'd you get your high? I want to go get one with you. You made them a follower. Right? All right, the world is doing that, so why doesn't the church do that and have people follow Jesus? Instead of getting another high, you get another high on God through the Holy Spirit. John 13:34 says, Jesus said, I give you a new command, love each other. Love each other. You must love each other just as I loved you. All people will know that you are my followers if you love each other. People don't want to follow you if you can't love one another. If you can't love the people in your own household, people aren't going to believe anything you have to say. I didn't say you'd be a saint and could just be bubbly, bubbly all the time. I didn't say that. You know, your little thorn is going to mess you up. You're going to have to go and have a quiet time with the Father and then continue on in your love walk with him, right? I mean, you know, come on. If we didn't have our little down times, we'd be in heaven, wouldn't we? We have to continue to live in this earth. And God does not take our emotions away from us. But he just tells us we have to become more like Jesus. Did Jesus get upset? Of course he did. But Jesus continued in his love walk. In Matthew 11:29 says, Jesus says, accept my teaching, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will be able to get some rest. Yes, the teaching that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. The only way this teaching about love would be hard is if you're really hard, if your heart's cold. I mean, when I was first born again, my heart was cold. It had gotten cold. And it was hard for me to know that somebody that messed up for years and years and years could say, Father, forgive me, and immediately go to heaven. That upset me. I thought they needed to go the other direction. And I had to be taught. And it took a couple months to teach me that God loves everybody and everybody should have a chance to go to heaven. You know, so we all go there. And if you don't, thank God you don't. Ephesians 5, 1 and 3 says, 1 through 3 says, you are God's dear children, so try to be like him. Live a life of love. Love others just as Christ loved us. He gave himself for us, a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God. But there must be no sexual sin among you. There must not be any kind of evil or selfishly wanting more and more, because such things are not right for God's holy people. You're going to have to be holy also if God is going to use you for signs and miracles. You can no longer do the things you used to do, guys. You're not yet a new vessel. If you're still doing the same things you used to, you're not a new wineskin yet. And God can't give you the new wine. Saints or holy ones was a term used in the New Testament to describe followers of Jesus as God's special people. They were holy because they had been made pure through Jesus and belong only to God. We can't belong half to the devil and half to God. We have to belong 100% to God. You know, and everybody's going to have warts, right? We have to love the warts too. Come on. You know, this world would not be worth living in if everybody was ho, 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 and ha, ha, ha. You know, if there wasn't some troubles along the way, wouldn't it be monotonous? And we really wouldn't even grow in God. There would be nothing to make us go to our knees. And you know, instead of you being upset with your little thorn, you ought to thank God you have a thorn, because that's what keeps you close to God, right? But instead of us thanking God for that, we fuss with God and say, "How come I had to put up with this?" Well, how come Jesus had to go to the cross? He had to go to the cross because you weren't right. You wouldn't have gone to heaven. And he made a way of escape. God says, you came for a miracle. You will receive a miracle as you yield your heart to me. Then he said, this day I want your heart. And as he said that, I thought, well, God, you're always asking, telling us you want to do something. You want our heart. And then, I wrote down here, God keeps saying he wants our heart. And God said to me, don't forget that there are many chambers in our heart, just as there are many chambers in God's heart. So each time God said he wants to do something new with your heart, he's dealing with a different chamber in your heart. You know, and that's a whole new ball game then when you get to thinking about that, right? But if you really check yourself out, you can honestly say, my heart is not perfect yet. God, keep on perfecting my heart. And how he does that is in the services, he'll teach you something. And he said, now I want that part of your heart that can't love the unlovable, right? Do you understand that you're not always lovable? My family lets me know that I'm not always lovable. I mean, we think we're all that and then some in a bag of chips or however they say it. And we're not always lovable. We're like Jesus, we could tear the money changers in the church, right? You could tear the stuff that goes on around about you, so then you throw a fit. And you have a right to throw that fit. But the people around about you say, oh, and you call yourself a child of God. Yes, I do. And I have emotions. And I have rights, right? But that doesn't mean that I don't love those around about me. That does not mean that I have a right to tell you to think evil thoughts about them. Many times, you know, things happen in my house and I'll talk to it about Teresa Ann, and then I go to God and say, all right, now let me talk to you about it. And let me, and God, I'm really sorry that I couldn't be just like Jesus right at that moment. That I had to talk about it before I could be like, you know, get over it and be like Jesus. I think we all need a sounding board, and maybe it's just a wall in your bedroom. But I think if you use that sounding board and started telling God really how you really feel, He knows. If you just really say, you know, I'm really having a hard time with this person. And my love walk is starting to wane right now. And God, I need you to come in and I need you to strengthen my love walk. I do that a lot because right now the devil's really trying to get my love walk. And I believe he's trying to get a lot of people's love walk. But we as children of God, we have to keep going forward. We're supposed to be bringing followers. You need to have people look at you and say, look, what they went through, but look, they could forgive and love and keep on going. And not pretend, but truly forgive, forget, and walk on in love. Now, after this morning, when God touches that other chamber in your heart, that's a little bit messed up and can't love the way Jesus does, you should not have a hard time forgiving those around about you. Now, thorn, if you won't pay attention to it anymore and you just keep loving, it will disappear. No, your husband or wife's not going to disappear. The thorn, the thing that makes you upset, is going to disappear. So the altar's open. And God wants that chamber in your heart that can't quite love the unlovable.